International rugby is back. Scotland will host world champions South Africa, Southern Hemisphere heavyweight Australia, Pacific Islanders Tonga, and the exciting Japan at BT Murrayfield this October and November. Adult tickets start from just £16 and kids can come for a quid. For more information on the Autumn Nation series and to secure your tickets for the return of international rugby to BT Murrayfield, check out scottishrugby.org. We can't wait to welcome you back.
Welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby podcast. Rachel's joining us back from Italy. She's bringing a couple of friends this week. We're going to have a look back at the nerve-jangling end to the fantastic victory Scotland women had over Ireland. We're joined by Emma Wassell, who won her 50th consecutive cap for Scotland women at the weekend, and team manager Ellen Dixon. Well, welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby podcast. I'm joined by some smiling faces. Rachel, congratulations on the weekend at that victory. We've spoken a lot about the World Cup qualifications under pressure a lot, but you're back in home soil, and you've brought a couple of mates along with you.
Yeah, brought along our team manager, Ellen Dixon, and our 50 cap hero, Emma Wassell. So, welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Rachel.
Ellen, are you responsible for getting them on here? Was it you obviously take charge of a lot of things, but one of the biggest asks, I assume, was making sure everybody got there and got back in one piece after a pretty intense period. But how was travel home at the weekend? All smooth?
It was different. It was different to what we've normally had. And like I was saying, it was more of a challenge getting off the plane. They were all good getting off the plane. And then after some naps, yeah. And like I was saying, I'm just glad to see both Emma and Rachel alive, because I wasn't sure where they were going. I think Rachel only got home yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah.
Was
that
me? Yeah. That sounds really bad.
I was going to say, was it a European tour?
As in, I drove back to England yesterday. Spent some time in Scotland with my family.
Good. Oh, well, listen, congratulations, I say, with where. We'll have a look at the three games as a whole, but I suppose, Emma, your 50th cap, 50 consecutive cap as well, which is an incredible achievement. Congratulations on that. Loads of pressure going into it. Going into all the games, really. But I suppose give us a quick summary of how special a day it was for you personally, and then obviously with the result for the team towards the end of the match.
Yeah, I suppose I knew going into this tournament that kind of the big 50 was on the horizon, but it was always let's get through the first two games first, and then it'll come. At the first game, it was a wee bit of touch and go, had a minor injury. So there really was points where I was like, I don't think it's maybe not to be. But yeah, the stars aligned. It was kind of hard on the day, obviously, and everyone really had made such big effort the night before and made it really, really special. But it was always quite going into that game, it was very much thinking this game is bigger than any personal achievement.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that, it really did feel that way. But I can honestly say, and I think I'll probably, a lot of the times I get asked, what's your best rugby memory? And naturally people kind of go to their first cap or our first win, but by far that was the best rugby memory I have. And I think it'll be that way for a long time.
Well, it's good to know it's going to be by far. That leaves space for another milestone achievement for you and the team. But Rachel, what type of things did... You said, Emma says you make it special for personal milestones of that. As a captain, as a team, was it special jersey presentations? Or not to embarrass you all, but in the women's camp, how do you make these, quite rightly, make these achievements, or how mark these achievements?
Yeah, so we haven't actually had that many, I think, because of the nature of the women's team. We don't play as many games potentially as in the men's game. So WASA is one of the first. But the evening before, because obviously last said, it's very big game for us, lots of pressure, so we didn't really want to like make her cry too much before we headed out. So but the night before we had a team meeting and had gathered videos from coaches, ex-players, current players, all kind of, and some of Waz's family as well, to wish her luck and remind her of some funny memories as well. So that was what we did for the game. And then, yeah, she had a wee bit of a special shirt present, nothing too mad, because again, like we say, we didn't want to get her too emotional, but definitely still did. And yeah, and then there was a presentation after the game as well, which was probably the bit where we could say whatever we wanted, because it was said and done, and it had obviously been a positive result as well, which was nice to mark with that. But yeah, it was a pretty cool day for us as well, because we see how much she puts in on and off the pitch for our squad, and particularly, like, it's not just 50 caps, it was 50 consecutive caps, which in the women's game is, as I said before, like, that's taken 7 years for that to happen. I think in the men's game that would probably happen a lot quicker. But to go without missing a test through injury or through anything else, when she's got a full-time job and everything else that goes with it, is unbelievable. And the stuff that I've seen her play through, the injuries we both felt and I've seen her play through, kind of shows how tough a player she is. So, no, so inspirational for all of us to see her run out on Saturday.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And before we get into the game, Ellen, you'll be a big part of that, big part of the team culture, the organisation, obviously team manager. But if you take the 3 or 4 week period, you know, of the qualifications, almost like once you got to Italy, because we spoke to Rachel a lot beforehand about the preparations and building up to it. From a managerial point of view and someone kind of almost looking at the squad as a whole, did you see a change in belief and behaviour, you know, just in terms of kind of match one to Sunday night or Monday morning when you left them all?
Yeah, definitely. When we lost that game in the Six Nations after Italy, it was a tough couple of days after, and it took them a good few days to kind of get past it and move on. When we were away in that 3 weeks, we obviously lost that first game. Mm-hmm. Done, it was dusted, line drawn under it, and they moved on very quickly, very focused. So I guess that's, I kind of had a feeling then, they're on this.
So that was a contrast to the Six Nations where it probably took longer to get over that defeat. I remember being kind of in and discord, but the bounce back was excellent because they went on to beat Wales really well. Yes. But as we said before, that your 6 day turnarounds in the qualification matches are tough, and you can't beat yourself up too much. You have to deal with what's happened. But do you see that, you know, as you say, Ellen, from the squad leading up to that second game, that crucial game against Spain?
Yeah, from so that. Very similar to Six Nations, kind of day after was hard, and they go through the review and it's really tough and really open conversations. But I hope you don't mind me sharing, Emma, but the day after the Six Nations, I looked across the room 2 days later and Emma was crying into her Weetabix. This Six Nations,
they're not that bad, are they? Well, you're not allowed sugar on them or something like that.
Yeah, this tournament, it was very quick. It was light on over, focused, and straight into the next one. And I'd give a lot of credit to Louise and Rona bringing the tunes. It brought the team back up, the bus, and it kind of got everyone back together, and off they went. Very much a line drawn under it.
And good.
Going into Spain.
You can see that within the game as well. If you take the Ireland game, for instance, that process almost happened a couple of times. You fell behind early on, and then, you know, got back in the game, got ahead, fell behind again. And then had to fight it out again, Emma. I mean, are these experience, obviously the experience you gain as you go along makes a big, big difference. But can you kind of use those experiences before in the game and the kind of sub moments of, you know, fighting back and then going behind again, having to fight back again? Do you, you know, draw on all those previous experiences in order to get over the line?
Yeah, I think we speak a lot about kind of belief and kind of buy in from the whole team, and genuinely from the start of that game, even at points when we did go behind, like there was a very much feeling togetherness within the squad. And we went in at half time and we were ahead at half time, but like were winning that game. I don't know, it was just something, and yeah, it was very close at the end, and there was various kind of points. Obviously 5 minutes, like I thought we were obviously kicking to corner, and I thought like this is going to be the last line out of the game. Mm. Thoughts going in my head, like I had visions of the driving mall try. Didn't happen that way, but
do you call the line out, Emma?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's an added responsibility as well.
Well, so it was, that was all that was going through my head at that time. I was like, right, this has to be the right call because this could be kind of the winner.
This is it.
Mm-hmm. But obviously it didn't work out that way. But actually when we did get that final try, Chloe probably got it in a wee bit closer, which made Law's kick a wee bit easier. So it all worked out in the end.
A wee bit easier. They're certainly not easy, those kicks.
No, absolutely not.
We'll come to that. We'll come to that. Chloe, the real one. But that must be, I know you don't need to hear that, Rachel, because you know that, but that's a representation of the leadership group, the captaincy, the experience in the squad that, you know, no matter what gets thrown at you, because it's no hard, it's not easy. It is hard every time you play, you're up against it. But knowing that the team trust the system and have the athletic ability to stay in the fight as well. Another thing that was really important was that you had a consistent team across the three games. So in terms of being physically fit, maybe get lucky now and again on injuries, but with all the work you put in, that gives you, along with that belief, that gives you a lot of strength that you can dig yourself into difficult situations.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, that after the Italy game, the press were asking, you know, how do you even come back from this kind of thing? Because it obviously was quite a big defeat. And I think the place we're in now compared to even a year ago, in terms of like the kind of character within the squad, but also we know that we can come back after results like that. We know we've got the ability to, and we know that we also have the ability to beat or like compete with some of the best teams in the world. And I think having that experience now and the understanding across the whole squad means that even when times are tough, like there is never, we used to crumble. Like I think everyone in the squad would put their hands up and say we used to crumble. You know, I think we've been on the wrong side of those results, like the ones we had against Ireland and Spain so many times, because we didn't have the character, we didn't have the belief, and we probably, like you say, weren't necessarily physically ready for it. Whereas we've had so much time together, and I almost think, you know, the delays which has happened have put us in the best place possible going into those qualifiers. And both physically and mentally, we've dealt with a huge amount of setbacks, both on and off the pitch, in the last 18 months. And that's not just the players, it's the management as well. And we've come back from every single one of them. And I think that gives you a huge amount of kind of belief in each other, but it also brings that togetherness. And touching on just like our physical readiness, I think the work that's gone in by our S&C, Alan McDonald, to get us ready, like, I personally have never felt better in internationals, except from cramping up constantly, but that wasn't necessarily his fault. And also Lisa Erskine, our physio, so she has supported our team for a long time, but it's the first time that she's stepped up as lead physio. And I think Wasu also, both of us had kind of relatively...
knocks and bumps,
we both had knocks and bumps, which made us... Could have been worse, but we were managed so well throughout the tournament, as were all the other girls. So to have, you know, your whole squad available for three test matches with 6 day turnarounds, I think is a massive kind of shout out to our management who've got us ready and our support staff as well. So yeah, it's put that, and that alone puts you in such a good position to do well, which is exactly what happened.
And Ellen, that's a big point, is the squad effort. In terms of, I saw a photo afterwards that had, you know, Lisa and Alan and everybody involved. It's obvious to everybody watching and what it means to the players, and the players get that chance to show their emotion, to jump up and down, to burst out crying, whatever happens. But how easy is it for, I suppose, you guys in the off-field committee to show your pride? Because you feel like you're part of it, you're part of the gym the whole way, but how do you get your release of emotion, really?
Yeah, it's tough. Like I remember when I first started, you know, Karen Burnett, she is a team manager. What you want to do is just stay consistent all the time. So win, draw, just be consistent, which I think, like, the girls can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I've done until that Spain game. And that's what it is. I was watching behind my clipboard.
I came off the pitch, right, with 5 minutes to go. And I went up to Ellen on the touchline and I said, Ellen, what's the time on the clock? How long we got? And she said, in not as nice words as this, Rachel, leave me alone. I can't watch. And I was like, okay. Bye then. So, like, take myself off to the subs bench, like, absolutely, like, deflated. And then she came up to me afterwards and was just like, I need to watch that whole game again. I couldn't even watch it.
So just try to stay as consistent as possible. But when you're watching them and you care for them so much, like, just so proud of them, but they're just fighting for their lives in that last 10 minutes for both games. I think all the management team, and we saw what Alan McDonald at the end of the game.
Yeah, he didn't hold back, did he?
Of us for 3 weeks was, fully in it. So I think we definitely had a little quiet year to ourselves after as well, away from the girls.
Yeah, it's good. It's well worth it. Of course, a deep breath, I know. Until the next time, because the journey continues. Obviously, we'll touch on that in a few minutes. It's, to achieve what we've achieved was excellent, but we still have to get over another hurdle in the kind of final qualification, if you know what I mean, in the repechage in the new year. But I suppose taking it on in the field, Emma, like what we're talking about here is quite, I suppose, natural Scottish traits that we know we all have. We're brave, we're determined, we get back, we fight back. But we can't ignore the quality that we've shown as well and the tries that were scored, especially the Spain game and even the tries in the game against in Ireland at the weekend. You know, Rona's try from the attacking kick, and then you've got multi-phase under pressure, Chloe scoring. So it's not all blood and thunder and guts, isn't it? There's an element of quality that in the way that the team are trying to play is executed by you guys that must be inspiring as well.
Yeah, I think, I've been involved a long time now and kind of seeing the skill level as well as and the heart and the determination of every Scottish player I've played with is always, always there. But yeah, I think there's been a huge kind of, like, we've obviously built up to these qualifiers for 18 months. Like, it has been long, and kind of the work going in from all the girls individually and like as a team really did kind of show, like, at times on the pitch. Don't get me wrong, like, there's, I think the big thing is we watched that game and we're by far where we even want to be.
Yeah,
there's still so many kind of elements that we know we can be better at, but that's like, we can still do that. Now we've obviously got this opportunity, but yeah, I think it obviously helps the difference, obviously playing them 3 games back to back. You can learn instantly from mistakes and back them up straight away. And I think that was really big for us. And obviously we were together for 3 weeks consistently. And that's not just on the pitch stuff. It's off the pitch stuff. And I just think that helped massively. And I would say it was a big kind of contribution to that win against Ireland.
Yeah, you can see that in terms of scoring different type of tries at different games at different times as well. There's real balance to the game, Rach. The final try was delivered under massive pressure, keeping the ball retention under pressure, obviously all the emotion. But Chloe did manage to get over. It was brilliant actually on the day. It just even the lead up to that try 2 or 3 times before, as she always is, just so dynamic. But there's a wee bit of pressure on Sarah Law's shoulders, wasn't there? again, I saw it watching live, and the camera kind of panned to Emma, you guys on the pitch. It looked as if you were watching, but I'm not sure in what direction the gaze or if the eyes were open. But could you watch, Rachel? What about you?
I don't think I did watch. Although I didn't watch, like, I literally had zero doubt in my mind that she was going to get it. Mm-hmm. Like, because, like, I think everyone can vouch for Sarah Law. That was all that was going through my head. Like, we've had as high pressure games as this before. I think it was one of our first ever wins. She got the clutch conversion right at the end to win the game, and I think, you know, having anyone could have stepped up to that, then you'd want it to be Sarah Law. And I think she just is so calm in every situation. She doesn't get herself over emotional whilst in a game. ever, not like the rest of us. So, you know, she's exactly the person you'd want to step up. And I'm sure, like, you know, from working with her, Mossy, in terms of her kicking, like, she is just so diligent with her craft that, yeah, I had every confidence.
She is, and has worked really hard along with, you know, a lot of others. But it's still, it's such an easy thing to say, listen, trust your process, mm-hmm. you know, don't think about anything else, just take it as an individual kick like any other kick. But it's so easy to say, it's probably the most difficult thing to do, because all your instinct is telling you, I just need to look up to make sure it's going over, I just need to make sure. And it's so easy not to, even though they tell yourself to trust your process, you don't. But she was absolutely as calm as you like. I could see it just even on the replay in the video, she was as calm as you like. A bit red in the face, a bit flustered obviously, but like, slow your heart rate down, go through your process, but and absolutely perfect, right? But
seconds
later we're a bit more less calm.
No, I think as well, like, as a squad, like, Slaw's had a tough time with injuries over the last few years and missed out on a lot of opportunities and stuff like that. And I think so for us, like, we're also just buzzing. It was hard for that reason as well. And I think as well, she had the added stress of the Irish team screaming in her face as they ran at her. And she still dealt with that very well. So, yeah.
Oh, really?
But luckily, Sarah Law knows the laws better than anyone. So she knew what would happen if she had missed because of that. So, but yeah, no, she's an absolute hero to all of us. And she absolutely smashed it.
And it's great to have that depth, isn't it? Because Nelly, obviously going back to the French game as well, has... you know, that depth. So it's
Nelly's kicking's been unreal for the last kind of 18 months, so yeah, to have people on the pitch, on the bench, everything. And we've got others there as well who can do the same. You know, Lana's consistently got some of those match winning kicks as well from touchlines and things like that. So yeah, Scottish rugby's definitely in a good place from that point of view, which you can take some credit for, I'm sure.
Not very much. So what's next then? Obviously the you know, that's still in the hunt, still in the qualification. There'll be another Ellen Ripperchar's qualification at the early part in next year, where it'll be the Asian qualifiers at playoff. And it's four teams and the top team will go through and that's it. So there's only one more space left.
One more space left, yeah. And it'll be a winner takes all. So we're definitely ready. So we just need the Asia qualifiers to happen. And so we're just waiting for them to get confirmed, and just similar to us, they've got every right to have that decided on the field. So we'll just be patient and we'll wait to hear who comes through.
So we're in a position now where we'll look ahead and there's another qualification process to go through, but that won't be until the new year. So Emma, I suppose what happens now, between now and then, there'll be opportunities to meet up. It looks like we're going to have a fixture against Japan, which is, I think, traditionally the last few fixtures in Japan have been brilliant, especially ones at Scotland, real quick tempo. They play quite similar to Italy, really, don't they? So being exposed to that type of game again would be excellent. So it's something to look forward to between now and the final knockout phase.
Yeah, definitely. I think we thought we would always have kind of autumn test, but whether that was going to be preparing us for next year for the Six Nations or whether it was this Ripperchar, it was something that we probably not really thought of because qualifiers were kind of at the forefront. But that'll be a huge kind of thing for us just because of the style of rugby they play. I think we noticed massively from the qualifiers, Italy, Spain and Ireland kind of all play a very different brand of rugby. I'd say Ireland are the most similar to us, whereas Spain and Italy are probably more similar. And Japan brings something completely different as well. It is very fast-paced. I think we played them at Scots 2 years ago, it must be now.
But that was a brilliant game. I remember watching that.
I thought I was playing sevens. I honestly thought I was playing sevens. I don't know.
But it lasted 80 minutes.
It literally felt like they had like five more people on the pitch than we.
I've never... It was, I mean, once she settled into it for the first 20 minutes, I think Sarah Bonner turned to me and she's like, I cannot play this. I cannot carry on. It was fast. It was just different. It was really,
it was really different.
Again, going into, like, for the Ripperchar, there are three teams, like, well, potentially three teams that we have never played before. So just getting exposure to the different styles people play will be very good for us.
That was a cracking game, that, Rach. I remember we spoke about it afterwards, and it was the first 20. I remember the Japanese midfield were just like so quick, but then we'd never get tackled. They'd always shift the ball, they'd always move the target. Yeah. So there wasn't a fixed point to hit to get set from.
No, and they seem to have about six dummy runners off every face. Yeah, but it was effective. Like, and their 9 and 10 were really, really well drilled. Like, so fast, could spread the ball pretty wide. Like, just a bit different to anything we'd come up against before. But
that'd be an exciting fixture, though. And again, maybe as a marker or as a gauge as to where. You know, over the last 2 years have been so disrupted, but in terms of playing similar opposition at similar time of year, it's a good gauge as well for the team's progression.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's important for us to kind of back up our performance over the last couple of weeks as soon as we can. Mm. I think if it was to wait, you know, until the Repshad, then it'd be quite, I still think we would be fine, and because we're quite used to having had big breaks and then come in. Like before this tournament, we hadn't played since the Six Nations. So, but I do think, you know, it's important to maintain the momentum and to keep improving. And like Wes said before, there's a lot of things in that, even in that final game, you know, we have already picked up that we want to look at and improve. And the sooner we can do that, the better. Put those wrongs to right and keep pushing forward ahead of the final Repechage. So yeah, it's exciting times. It's a nice place to be in. I think, you know, if we'd come out of the tournament just gone without kind of, you know, a hope of qualifying, it'd be quite difficult to go into those autumns with that same mindset. It'd probably be quite a challenge to how we approached it and where our focus is on. So it's nice to have that focus still there, that kind of dream, I guess, to work towards, but keep the momentum and yeah, keep the focus.
And is it back to club rugby? Is it this weekend? Games this weekend, both of you?
We do have...
have you not thought that far ahead yet, Emma?
There's, no. There's a mixture. So we're kind of... I think it just depends on the individual circumstances in terms of bumps and bruises, game time and stuff like that. So, yeah, a lot of the girls are back to Prem 15's action this weekend, and the rest will be back probably next weekend. If not this week. So yeah, it's straight back into it, which is I think good. I think a lot of us are suffering from the camp blues, so you know, you're used to going to breakfast with 40 other people every day and never being alone. So I think everyone's keen to just, like I said before, just keep the momentum going and keep getting better individually and come back in the autumn firing.
It's great to see everybody smiling, and it's great to see everybody back home safe and well. Ellen, congratulations on that. And just thanks again for joining us. And we'll probably talk before the game against Japan in the autumn. But for now, good luck back at the clubs. Is that the first time you've seen the teammates and campmates, obviously, since you got back?
What did we do? We went out in Edinburgh on Sunday. As a squad, which was really nice because I think for the last 18 months we've all been very COVID aware we've not seen each other outside of camp at all, so it was nice to come back and spend some time together as a squad, not in and around a rugby pitch. We kind of departed on Monday, so yeah, first time seeing Ellen, our resident team mum and manager. Ellen's brilliant. She's very much kind of everyone's go-to for any issue, rugby related or not.
Squads need that though. That's such a vital
I cannot reiterate enough like how important she is to our squad in terms of being a sounding board for everything. And as a captain in particular, she's kind of my go-to for any potential issue or something that might be kind of rumbling under the surface.
And has rugby experience herself, a lot of
exactly
rugby
tons of rugby experience as well, with previously playing for Scotland women, and that's quite nice as well for us sometimes to ask her experiences on that and get kind of her input. But she's absolutely brilliant, and above that she is unreal at her job. Like the last 18 months worth of cancellations and evacuations from countries and things like that. Like she's just like unflappable. Like she literally never fazed by anything, sorts everything straight away. She's been the MVP for sure over the last 18 months.
We kind of take it maybe for granted, or squads take it for granted, but that role is so important, especially in an international environment where you need to know what the players are saying, how they're saying it, and obviously nothing goes smoothly all the time. There'll be gripes, there'll be disappointments, there'll be, you know, flashpoints after you manage. But she's kind of link between, you know, the coaches, the management, and the players, isn't it? And that individual is so crucial to knowing actually how to manage some of the situations that come along from players towards coaches or coaches towards players, how much gets passed on. So it's even taking it, you say she is so good at what she does in terms of the practicalities or the, you know, unflappable in terms of all situations. But just that management of behaviour and people is so crucial, and it sounds like you're so lucky to have somebody who knows that, who understands that, who knows rugby can be hard, who knows it can be lonely and dealing with players who maybe need to be sent home due to injury and how sensitive around that. So we keep saying how important it is, but to have that human element is vital.
Yeah, like her awareness of, I think, like what you said, her awareness of the emotions which go in and around a tournament, in and around a win, a loss, are kind of her X factor, I probably think, compared to some managers who haven't got that experience in sport. And she also takes the time to understand and get to know every single player. So she very much knows what makes players tick, and she can tell when one of us isn't having a good day, and she'll always kind of pick up on that and either feed it into me as a captain or take it on herself to manage. And, you know, I was saying to the management the other day that, you know, we were 44 people literally locked in a hotel. Weren't allowed out other than to go to training for the best part of a month, and not a single crossword, and, you know, not many unhappy faces other than obviously when we had a setback against Italy. So I think that's testament to kind of the squad, the amount of work we put in off the pitch to keep us together and build those relationships, which I've touched on before, is something I think's fundamental to you being successful on the pitch, is building those relationships off it, and she's a big part of that.
And Emma's obviously a wee bit quieter than normal. You were hinting towards, because you're like such an amazing achievement, 50 consecutive caps, massive part of the team in terms of our personality, but not only that, like our consistency and performance at, you know, set piece, defence, line out calling, everything. She's a real beacon of kind of quality that people look up to, isn't she? But you were saying she was a wee bit quieter there than usual.
Yeah, Wath is the life and soul of our team. That would be definitely true. She's you can usually hear her before you can see her. But she's brilliant. She always brings so much energy, both on and off the pitch. And like I say, in a camp where you are in
you need that as well,
intense environment, you need that. Like, she's absolutely hilarious. Like, she'll love the fact I've said that as well. But she is. She's very funny. And, you know, when times are tough, sometimes that's exactly what you need. But on the pitch, like we said it before, I said it at our jersey presentation, you know, she's someone everyone looks to for inspiration, you know, whether it's in good times or bad, you can always find it there because she's so consistent. She always plays with that body on the line attitude, whether it be for club, country, internal match, like she's always got that attitude. And she's phenomenal, and in my opinion getting better and better. I don't think she's anywhere near reached her peak, like at 50 caps. I think, you know, we'll probably have to wait till she gets to 100 to even see that. So yeah, it's exciting because I do think, you know, she's already one of the best second rows in the world, and that's, you know, she's got so much more to come as well.
Even that bit rings true when she said it's her favorite memory so far, like that, just even that so far phrase let you know that there is more to come, and she believes there's more to come and knows there's more to come. So it's all good for the future. You wouldn't have seen much rugby last weekend then.
I did watch one match. So I was actually rooming with Lisa Thompson, whose boyfriend plays for Southern Knights. So we watched his game every week. So I watched Southern Knights play.
How did they win by 40 points? Beat Heron. Like, ultimately, I mean.
Yeah, it was a mad, mad game again.
Underlines how good they are, that they could potentially be outplayed for about 75 minutes of the match and win 42-29.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I literally don't know how that result happened. And just like some wild tries as well, like Freddie Owsley's try, like, was just bizarre. Like, I was like, where is he off to?
He just wanted to run around the two or three.
Yeah, I think he comes from an athletics background. So, I think that just shows that that pure speed. And the try at the Def as well was another very good example of an extremely good athlete.
But, yeah, it was. And Callum Young's try for Heriot's on the other side from the set-piece scrum as well. So, you're right, it was 42-29 in the end to the Knights, who really, going into the last 5 minutes, I think we're still behind. And Heriot's, I thought, played really quite well, and as long periods of really good defence, disciplined, and I think it's more a nod to how good Knights can be even without being at their best. It's a caught aside. So that was good to see that. And other games at the weekend, Ayrshire Bulls versus Bears. Ayrshire Bulls came out in top 27-17, but again had to grind Burmuir Bears down. The Bears are, I keep saying it, that they're a really good team that haven't had the awards that they maybe deserve. Bulls relied, no, they didn't rely, they used their forward pack and got driving more tries. The last try was excellent, real attacking edge to it, but they eventually ground Burmuir Bears down with kind of the work up front. But another player that jumps out again, we spoke about him a little bit before, was Duncan Munn, the centre, just out of school. Another brilliant game for Burmuir Bears, and just in terms of his desire to work hard in defence and his skill level for somebody so young. Yeah, he certainly put his hand up in that game. And Stirling Watsonian was a cracker, 41-39. Stirling involved in another last-minute victory. So loads of rugby played. A bit messy at times in that game, but some top performances. Grant Hughes again, I think, in the midfield, played really well. Like Sam Daly at number 8 for Watsonians, again scored a try. He's been big in the entire Forge Rock Super 6. So we're all on to this weekend. Edinburgh and Glasgow kicked off URC last week as well. Glasgow taking 2 points away at Ulster. Tough game. I thought some of the tries were brilliant. Mm-hmm. Some of the too many kind of elementary errors. It was almost like a one or two mistakes, maybe synonymous with a bit of early season form in terms of the iron, two or three. Well, they will iron those things out. To take away 2 points in the end, I think they'll be reasonably happy with. But iron out those errors, it looks as if there's an all-court game there that can threaten in all ways. And then two or three stars of the show on Saturday at the Damhealth Stadium, Edinburgh Rugby's new home ground.
Yeah.
The supporters, the atmosphere, everything around it was pretty special, and the performance as well. Again, I spoke to Mike immediately afterwards, and he was a wee bit disappointed with how erratic it was at times, but like the mindset to play, the tempo and the intensity to play it, and the quality of the game, I thought was excellent. Scarlett, really tested them. Could have gone either way, but brilliant to see Edinburgh getting off to a winning start at home. So after the home win against Scarlett, Edinburgh travelled to Benetton, who won their opening game against Stormers, actually, and reigning Rainbow Cup champions. That'll be a tough nut for Edinburgh. I genuinely think Benetton will be a tough nut this year, a real bit of quality. So it's a difficult away challenge for Edinburgh, but they can take the confidence of the win. And Glasgow at home to the Sale Sea Sharks on Saturday, both on Saturday, that one's at Scotland. That is one of the hardest names of a team, I've got to say. The Sale Sea Sharks. Can you say it?
Sale Sea Sharks.
I was told.
That's like that rhyme you used to have to say as a kid.
Thank you once again for listening. It was great to catch up with the victorious Scotland women's squad from last weekend. Good luck to everybody who's playing this weekend, and we look forward to bringing you more from Scottish Rugby next time.